This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, welcome to another episode.
Kia ora.
It's a beautiful sunny day out there.
We said that last time as well. It was rare for Dunedin.
It is.
We got two in a row.
We're going to become complacent.
Yeah.
Or do that thing where you like complain that it's too hot.
Yeah, I do that all the time, to be fair.
So this is getting aired on the 22nd, like in a few weeks, I think. So we're a little bit.
We're gazing into the future once more.
Gazing, always gazing into that future. And today we are going to talk about books that have been either awarded a prize or nominated for a prize. I think we've got quite a few on the Occam book list.
Yes.
Which, when does that get announced?
I don't know. It probably won't be for a little while if they've just done the long list.
They just kind of let it stew for a while and get people excited for the long list, don't they? Do you want to take it off?
I can go. Go first. I was quite happy to say I'd actually read quite a few of the nominees already last year, and I talked about a couple on the show.
That's right.
Cast your mind back. You're reading Amo at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, which I'm really enjoying. And I'd forgotten that you talked about it. But amazing book.
So good. Yeah. I love it. And I also talked about The Myers by Tina Makariti, which I also really enjoyed.
Yeah, which is, I tried to buy it for the Athenaeum Library and it is sold out and they're on their second order of it.
That is great.
Yeah, because I've gone in there twice now. So we buy books like once a month.
But
both times have been sold out.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Very deserved. But I'm talking about two of the nonfiction, not the illustrated nonfiction, just the, I guess, plain nonfiction. Plain nonfiction.
General
nonfiction long listed entries. So the first one is called The Unsettled by Richard Shaw. So Richard Shaw is a professor of politics at Massey University and is a pretty well-respected commentator on New Zealand's political and social landscape. This is his second book. His first one is called The Forgotten Coast, which was a really candid reflection on his family's settler history in Taranaki, and The Unsettled continues this journey. And he brings in the voices of other Pākehā who are coming to terms with their own histories. The Unsettled explores the idea of an imagined history and how settler narratives have been shaped by... Sorry, my computer just... Sari's voice just answered me. gave me a fright. What was I saying? So it sort of explores how settler narratives have always been shaped by forgetting, retelling and omitting all the uncomfortable truths. Shaw tells his own family story and also speaks with other New Zealanders who have begun to question their family's pioneer stories and acknowledge the reality of how their land and privilege actually came to be. So it's people who, like Shaw, are grappling with what it means to live on land that was confiscated or stolen from Māori and what obligations that knowledge brings. I highly recommend it, especially if you are Pākehā. And it does really make you think, especially if you're from families that can trace a while back in New Zealand history. Start to ruminate on what that actually means. And
interesting.
Yeah,
I think that's I have some friends from the UK coming out to visit New Zealand in a couple of weeks, and was for one of them, she's Estonian, and she's never been to a colonised country before.
Oh, really?
So I was actually just realising that as well. And I was like, maybe you need to do a little bit of reading around that just to know what it's like.
Yeah, it's a good idea for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for people who, come out to New Zealand and just go, oh, it's just little England or, that kind of misconception.
Yeah.
Or Australia and New Zealand are the same. And,
yeah. Yeah.
but this sounds like a pretty vital book.
Yeah, I think it's really important and it's really well written. I haven't read The Forgotten Coast, which is his first book, but this made me want to sort of go back and do that deeper dive into his family history. Yeah, I also like this book isn't about guilt. Shaw talks, I think I read this in an interview and it was also mentioned in the book, about the words of James Baldwin, who says that guilt is only useful if it leads to action. So the goal of this book isn't to wallow about in the shame, but to encourage open, honest discussions about our history, which is something that many Pākehā have avoided for a long time. So, yeah, I really like that about this book.
That's cool.
I think it's challenging and hopeful and hopefully will spark some good conversations. Yeah.
Yeah, nice that it's making a point to be like, we're not trying to make you feel guilty.
Yeah.
Which is often the misconception, right?
Mm. Just actually have to look at the history and what it actually means. And
Yeah. Acknowledge it.
What have you been reading?
This is like completely different. And I'm sure there's been a lot of fuss around it because it was the Booker Prize winner of 2024. Samantha Harvey's Orbital? Yes. So I started reading this book. It's a very small book. So I'll start by talking about Samantha Harvey. So she studied philosophy and did a creative writing PhD. She sort of lived in England and spent time between Scotland and Japan as a younger person. Finding out that she studied philosophy kind of made me go, oh, okay, that's what it is. So the novel has big concepts and they squeeze into quite a slim volume, much like the six astronauts themselves, which are sharing a small space, so small that they touch noses when they float past one another in their space station. There's six astronauts and they all come from different places. There's Russia, Japan, America, Britain, and Italy. And this sort of pitch that they are forming a collective, although they're from different countries up there in space looking down on Earth, that they are kind of united. But so the story kind of has little flurries of going into each of the individual characters, you know, remembering their honeymoon or their relationship with someone who lives in this part of the world and that sort of stuff. But it's very dense in description. It's been described as a beautiful book and it's, yeah, obviously been awarded with a lot of praise, but I felt a little disappointed by it. I haven't actually finished it, to be fair. I think I've read about 87 pages or something, but I think there's only 100 and something pages in that.
Okay, so you haven't got much to go.
No, and then because it's on hot demand at the library, I bought it back so someone else could take it out and I could get on with reading other things. But I think because looking at prize giving and thinking about, you know, how do they decide what book's the one that wins that year, for me, I just thought it might have been James Percival Everett. Or, yeah, reading There Are Rivers in the Sky by Elif Shafak. Both incredible books. So then when I got to Orbital, I was having this high expectation of it to be like that, but it wasn't. It was something completely different. But I get why this is an incredible book, because she's bringing up some really beautiful concepts about humanity and, it makes you think, you know, beyond the here and now and... Yeah.
Did you say maybe just not one for you?
Just
personally?
Not one for me. Yeah. I sort of needed more than like descriptions. It just felt a little bit lacking. But people I've had some really positive feedback from it.
Yeah.
From patrons. It's just they're going, yeah. And there's, you know, obviously there's interesting facts in it. About space as well.
I'm very intrigued to read it. I'm never sure with novellas. They have to be really good to...
Yeah, I just didn't really feel connected to any of the characters, and because the language is so descriptive and kind of flowery and, you know, there's like it's sort of like a love letter to planet Earth in a way. Just kind of for me, I was reading it, and I felt like it was a bit of a chore.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, again, I think, yeah, that's obviously just my opinion of it. So, yeah.
Oh, kind of makes me excited to read. I always, yeah, when something, because I have heard a lot of different opinions of this. It seems quite divisive.
And it was the winner. So you're like, okay. But, you know, this year for the Booker Prize, they've got judges like Sarah Jessica Parker, which is fascinating, right?
Interesting.
And I was saying that to someone and they're like, well, actors and actresses read a lot.
That's true.
And apparently she's actually quite an incredible writer herself. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously you can't get away from the whole like Carrie from Sex and the City. I'm like, she's judging the Booker Prize?
She's an excellent writer.
I love her columns. But yeah.
So, we'll see what she picks. Carrie's pick for the Booker Prize 2025.
A romance.
Yeah. So I will read that.
Yeah. Well, we've got it at the Athenaeum Library. Which is who brings you this show. And we welcome new members and we encourage them. And there's so many incredible books there. Like, yeah, they're just sitting there waiting to be read, all the new stuff.
Yeah, can confirm if you want to skip those long, unwieldy hold queues at the public library.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay for them either. They're like, what are they called? Hot picks. Shouldn't be saying this. No one's listening from the public library.
You never know.
So what else have you bought in
with you today? I also have read the Chthonic Cycle. I think I'm saying that correctly. I had to look up a pronunciation video on YouTube. This was getting passed around my partner's house in the holidays, and we ended up everyone was calling it the cycle. This is the debut essay collection by Una Cruikshank, who is a writer and researcher born in Tamaki Makaurau and who now lives in Pōneke. She has an MA in creative writing from the International Institute of Modern Letters at Vic Uni, and as well as another earlier MA, so very, clever person. She also works, I was reading about her, and she works at an audiovisual archive, which I think put the book into perspective. It does make sense, her fascination with time, memory, and preservation that you kind of see throughout this book. It's a collection of essays that explore deep interlocking cycles of death, decay, and renewal. So she kind of goes from ancient burial sites to fossilized resin and things like Victorian mourning customs to the carbon cycle. So it really takes you on a journey through time and objects, ruins, and reuse.
Does she talk about mushrooms?
I think so. I read it last year. Yeah. No, I think there is talk of, yes.
Just being New Zealand, I was like, oh, you know.
A lot of mushrooms.
Yeah.
I remember I loved it when I read it. It's just my favourite sort of book is essays about nature, but then essays that are kind of linked to everything, like art and, it reminds me of Olivia Lang, really, my favourite, as our regular listeners will know. Just like those essays where you learn about something completely new and then puts you on to all these other different paths of research and fascination you can journey down. That's my favourite sort of writing, especially in nonfiction. I just love essay collections, and this is a really perfect example of that form. I highly recommend it if you are like me and like learning about new things. And yeah, like it's beautiful prose.
Did she do that as like on the Modern Letters Masters? Was that her sort of dissertation as such?
Like, I don't actually know. I just know she did do the, Masters.
Curious about this. Yeah, we've talked about it before because we've done an episode on essays.
Mm.
But yeah, about essays as a mode of writing and how it's sort of becoming more popular, and it's a good way to engage with nonfiction.
Yeah.
But in storytelling kind of style, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued to find that out, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't see that in any of the interviews that I read with her, but
they kind of,
reasonably easy to find out. Yeah.
They churn out all the poets there. And
It's published by Victoria University as well.
Yeah, okay.
Their press.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I'll read a nice quote that I found that sort of illustrates how beautiful the language is as well as. So she writes, "It's the fate of everything on earth to be dismembered and reconfigured over and over. Only the intricate whole persists, a system that runs on interlocking cycles of death and reuse, like a set of ivory puzzle balls." So, beautiful book. Highly awesome. Recommend. Very well deserved to be on the long list for the Occam.
Yeah, awesome. I can't wait to look at it.
Yeah. What else did you read?
So I've bought in Kirsty Gunn, Pretty Ugly, which was published by Otago University Press, and this is on the long list as well for fiction, and it's a short story collection. I think Otago University Press has done pretty well lately with having a few nominated awards for poetry. And
yeah, so there's quite a lot of...
Yeah, on this...
Was Emma Neal was... Yes. Is it she published by them?
Yeah. What was that one? Lick.
Liar, the liar, liar, lick, spit.
Yeah.
in some collection, some order of those words.
She's so lovely. She donated a copy when we did the Reading for Palestine at the library last year, because we were going to do a raffle of sorts, but we didn't want to have like aggressive fundraising. And then in the end, she just let me have it. So I was like, oh, that was so nice of her. So thanks, Emma. Pretty Ugly is a short story collection. So Kirsty Gunn, I didn't know much about her, so I did a little looking up to see what the deal is with her. So she's born in the 1960s in New Zealand and lives between, although I found she's got a website and I don't know if it's out of date, but it was saying that she lives between Scotland and London. She's the Professor of Creative Writing at the University of Dundee. Her debut novel... was a short novel called Rain, was published in 1994 and was turned into a film in 2001 and also a ballet.
Cool.
And a little segue here is I'm going to be doing the Masters in Creative Writing at Otago University this year, which I'm very excited about. And this book is actually on the reading list as well. And she's also going to come in and do a guest lecture, which
amazing
is very exciting.
Just a quick, was the ballet by the Royal New Zealand Ballet or?
No, it was done by another ballet. I need to look it up. I think I feel like it might have been in Scotland. Perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, I'll look it up.
Also, her and her husband were campaigning against wind turbines in Scotland.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Not cool.
Right? Because I feel like
there are some valid.
But wind turbines are. Clean energy and la la la. So then I'll go on to say, so in this book, I haven't read all of it because I've just been way too busy at the moment, but I read Flight Path, and in that there's a group of friends and they're going for a walk and they're following their friend who they would just follow anywhere and they just think anything that comes out of his mouth is just amazing. His name is Carl. But they're walking sort of in the highlands and they're walking through all these wind turbines. It's still and they aren't moving. And so her descriptions of these sort of wind turbines is quite eerie. Like, I think this idea is behind the collection of short stories is that they're kind of ugly stories. In this story, Flight Path, it's quite bizarre. It's very much like a story, like a tale.
Yeah.
It's kind of unbelievable a little bit, but it functions really well. You're like caught from the moment you start reading, which I think you want with a short story because, you know, it's just a quick.
Like, you don't want to be bored in a short story.
Yeah. Not really. It's kind of funny because, the friends in this story hang off every word he says, but then at the end they don't, which I thought was like a kind of strange twist, but that's without giving anything away. The book's really sort of self-aware, like often it's referring to short stories within the short stories and the process of writing them, such as like in the short story Dangerous Dog, she writes, "In a way I could start this short story with a dream I had last night in which I was attacked by two rogue Labradors." And then again in the short in the story Poor Beast, begins with a character about to lose his livelihood, announcing, "You couldn't make it up," the narrator's response, more than once is that it's like a short story. It has all the elements, a lovely place, a way of living that seems unchanging, and then one summer, dot, dot, dot. But yeah, I think it's a really curious collection of short stories. I think she's an interesting person. The book's dedicated to the late Vincent O'Sullivan, who was her friend and mentor. Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to reading the rest of them. Not personally being much of a short story reader, but I'm very much looking forward to reading Rain, which is a full-size novel, the one that she did in 1984.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure if she's based back in New Zealand again. People have compared her to sort of Catherine Mansfield's short stories kind of style as well. So, yeah, a curious read there. It's got, Jane Campion has also written a little. I am fully in love with Kirsty Gunn's stories. They hit the heart of life so truly it makes me quiver.
Glowing praise from Jane Campion.
Yeah, so that's exciting. But, yeah, that's kind of all that we've brought in at the moment. But yeah. I did want to talk about some new books that we have got in the library. So we buy new books in every month. Actually, this month we're going to go to the Regent Book Fair, which is on the 28th of February. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't think I've mentioned this on air before, but I'm dyslexic. So, like, sometimes I just cannot, for the life of me, pronounce names. So I apologize.
I can assist if it's one that I recognize.
This guy. So we got this book called The Third Realm.
I think it's Carl. I think did I say Ove or Ove Nausgaard.
Yeah, Swedish writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that one in, which, yeah, sounds really interesting. Elizabeth Strout, Tell Me Everything. I'm not really a fan of Elizabeth Strout, but a lot of people are. And in this book, it's like two of her main characters from other books meet for the first time. Another short, long listed for the Occam, Michelle Rahu Pohara.
Oh, yeah, I really want to read that one.
Yeah, well, we've got it at the library now.
Get it out.
So, yeah, that one's also been shortlisted. Is that her debut book? I'm not.
I feel.
Could be.
It might be. I haven't, not familiar with her name, so I'm not sure if that's because I just haven't heard of her or if it, because it's her first.
We also got an Amar by Sarah De Silva, which we were just talking about, which is so far incredible and just. Yeah.
Oh, such a beautiful book.
So beautiful and heart-wrenching. And, yeah, I love, when it's set in Invercargill and you're like, I got an old book in at the library, old and new, Elif Shafak, because I love her, The Island of Missing Trees, and then picked it up and was like, I've actually read this before and had forgotten.
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me about that book when we once worked together at the Port Chalmers Library.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like already, an OAP. Louise Erdich, The Mighty Red. I love Louise Erdich. She's also a Pulitzer Prize winner.
That's her new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's out at the moment. So, yeah, really looking forward to reading that. And there was another one in there, but it has disappeared. It was a crime book.
I saw in your picture, I think you got, was it Peter James? No, did I make that up?
It's for some reason it's not showing. So on our website, which is the dunedinathenaeum.org.nz, we've got a section on that with recent books. So you can just go on there and look at all our new stuff. And there's some incredible stuff there. You can also follow us on Instagram.
Recommend some good posts.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I love to take the pictures of the old books, which sometimes maybe makes people think that we've only got really old, crusty books.
I think it's a good mix of the old and new.
Yeah.
That's part of the appeal of the library, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's got a little bit of everything. And I don't know any events. How about you? Any events? I think we talked about.
Well, this is in the future, this episode. So there'll be the Fringe coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Dunedin Fringe Festival, which has some cool stuff on. And also in March, it's the Dunedin Arts Festival, which also has some really cool stuff on.
And it's the Reason Writers Festival this year as well.
Yes, very excited.
I'm really excited for. And we'll hopefully be hosting a couple of things at the Athenaeum Library for that, which will be cool. All right. Cheers. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Takete.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.